You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Come to feel what you need when what you really want inside. gonna do?
Do you really think that?
Do you think it all? Yeah.
Our government cares about you.
They ain't giving up a second thought about you. No. Ghetto people.
Who you gonna turn to next?
Tell me. With your life
running like a red disease,
running like a red disease. Ghetto people,
stop giving up yourself,
stop doing what you're doing to yourself. Yo. You got to learn to love yourself. Ghetto people.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe, civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Maafa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Maafa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement: Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted. And we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I'm your host, Baba Oshi, Hotep family. Hope everything is well with you today. Hope you're going to have a good day today, getting a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. Hoping too the weather will be accommodating for you to do it, but of course, if it is not, and it has to get done, though, it must get done, then you will get it done. Yeah, don't procrastinate. Get the shit done, man. Come on. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. Top of the page, you'll see podcasts. Click on that. The drop-down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. But you also can use the shortcut, whatever search engine that you use, you know, whatever that might be. Put in the search, babaoshi.net, B-A-B-A-O-S-H-I.net, babaoshi.net. And then once again, there will be programs that are dated and titled. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening. Once again, this program is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And all times are going to give our Eastern times. Tomorrow night, from 7 to 8, Mississippi on the Move, the Black Liberation Movement with Brother Patrick Lumumba of the Geronimo Pratt Gun Club. On Friday, from 8 until, Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Time for an Awakening at 8 p.m. on Friday. On Saturday from 7 to 9, the Sankofa Elders Council with Dr. Janine. On Sunday at 7 p.m., Time for an Awakening once again with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Other, We Buy Black. We Buy Black, the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses, is WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses, WeBuyBlack.com. Africa for the Africans, Brother Bomani Tahimba is getting ready to take another group of our people on a trip of a lifetime. His next upcoming trip is, March 29th to April 9th. Going to Liberia and Morocco. Liberia and Morocco for $4,200. It's a good price. July 11th to the July 23rd. July 11th to July 23rd. Ghana, going to Ghana, $4,400. November 21st to December 2nd. Kemet, going to Kemet. November 21st to December 2nd, 2024, for $4,500 price. December 24th to January 4th, 2025. December 24th to January 4th, 2025. Azinha,
most know him as South Africa, but Azania, just like most know Kemet as Egypt. So I'm not trying to confuse anybody. The Azania trip is 4,800. All of these trips, if you lock it in right away, once you hear it and you go online and put a down payment, then because prices can change for a number of reasons, but you'll lock it in at that cost, at that price. April 1st to April 11th, Senegal and Gambia for 4,400. May 24th to June 5th, 2025, Ghana for 4,400. And then November 21st to December 1st, November 21st to December 1st, 2025, Brazil. Yep. All right, brothers and sisters, Africa for the Africans. Everything is on the website, AfricaForTheAfricans.org. If you want to see pictures of previous tours, go to Facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see videos of previous tours, go to YouTube.com/Bomani2007 so you can see for yourself. AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Habeshaw. Habeshaw Incorporated. .org. Habeshaw stands for Helping Africa by Establishing Schools at Home and Abroad. And of course, Habeshaw had their program earlier this month, and all the positive things they do. And of course, their project, the Kashi Project in Ghana, the beautiful things that they built there. So check out HabeshawIncorporated.org. The Ledge Group, Land for the Environmental Development for Group Economics. The Ledge Group. Brothers and sisters, Ledge has 12 projects in 6 different countries, over 170 employed and over 260 members. Become a member of the Ledge Group. Ledge deals with the 4 areas of human necessity, of human importance, of human existence: food, water, clothing, and shelter. The Ledge Group, Land for the Environmental Development for Group Economics. Excuse me, family. Yeah. The Minister of Wellness is in Kenya. Brother Nathaniel Jordan is in Kenya. He wants to send a thank you for all those brothers and sisters who listened last week and made their donations to help the brother get to Kenya to get the books that he's promoting. So I want to thank you, brothers and sisters, for that effort. Really appreciate y'all for that, family. Yep, the Minister of Wellness, and we'll be talking with him even from Kenya, find a way to communicate. Yep, so Smy Pharmacy, SMAIFARMACY, Smy Pharmacy, brothers and sisters, Brother Jabril and his lovely wife, they got it going on, good products. Go to SmyPharmacy.com, SmaiFarmacy. .com, Smy Pharmacy. Would you want to give him a call? Call him at 770-765-7751. 770-765-7751. Smy Pharmacy. And of course, you can email him at smypharmacy@gmail.com. Okay, Moses West and the Moses West Foundation. We talked to that young man who's able to turn Moses West takes water and gets water out of the air. That's what Moses West does. That's phenomenal, isn't it, family? He doesn't get water out of the air. But it's true. It is true. His machines are working around the world. You can get water because there's moisture. It's all in the air. They bring them into the machine, the water, the moisture goes into the machine, it goes through a filterization process, it separates all the negative stuff from the H2O molecule, H2O, and then out comes clean drinking water. Yeah. Yeah, and let me see my brother again. yeah. Where is that at? I'm got a sentence. Just hold on, family. Just hold on for a minute. Julian Brown is what I'm looking for. And, of course, He's turned plastic into fuel. All the waste plastic that's around the world. Another young man. He's right here in Atlanta. I'll have him on the radio program again, but he's turned plastic into fuel. So if you didn't hear that show, that'll be on the website, timeforanawakening.com. But you go to African Perspectives, and that program will be there too. So, yeah, thank you, Brother Apollo. Yep, Moses West, the Moses West Foundation. All right. Wadada's. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, located in the West End on Ralph David Abernathy. Across the street from Soul Vegetarian Restaurant, up the street from the Shrine of the Black Madonna, Wadada's offers delicious smoothies and fruit drinks and pastries and health foods and dry goods and all kind of stuff. On Saturday and Sunday, they have vegan dishes for sale. Wadada is located in the West End, 8878 Ralph David Abernathy Boulevard. And the phone number to call is 404-444-1635. That's 404-444-1635. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall, Mama Nia. That's right. Give Mama Nia a call. She has a fine selection of books, postcards, greeting cards, T-shirts, gift certificates, figurines, all kinds of good stuff. Also, being at the Greenbrier Mall, she also has access to a room where you can have book signings and presentations of people's books, all kind of good stuff. So give Mama Nia a call at 404-346-3263, 404-346-3263. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. The other bookstore that we promote is the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore and Coffee Bar in Lithonia. That's east of here. That's east. Take I-20, go east. Take the exit 74. That's Lithonia. Go on, make a left. Now you're headed north on Main Street. On the left will be Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore and Coffee Bar, about a mile down. And, of course, Brother Gazemde Ajamu, my good brother. Give him a call at 770-305-6373, 770-305-6373. If you're looking for books, he'll have it for you. If he doesn't have it, he'll get it. He has the red, black, and green shoes. He has T-shirts. He has, all kind of good stuff. And, of course, my favorite coffee, delicious Cameroon Boyo. The Black Dot, there's light in the Black Dot family. That's right, there is light in the Black Dot. Jump back in your car, head back the other direction. Now you're going south, and jump back on I-20 east. The next exit is exit 75, Turner Hill Road. Take that exit, make a right, three lights, make another right, and on the left will be the new Black Wall Street Market. The new Black Wall Street Market. Us Lifting Us, tomorrow night there, Thursday night broadcast. Us Lifting Us, Ulu. Tomorrow night's their Thursday night broadcast from 9 to 10 on Blog Talk Radio. That's blogtalkradio.com/ULU, Us Lifting Us. Name of the program is Dare to Win. If you don't want to go online to catch it, you can catch it on your phone by dialing 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. From 9 to 10 on Thursdays, Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people. Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop in Macon, Georgia. Brother Beej has got it going on. He's got all kind of, his place is stacked with all kind of good stuff, man. I tell you, every nook and cranny is filled with black soap, holistic health, beauty products, oils, incense, DVDs, CDs, pictures, literature, jewelry, furniture, clothing, man. He even has a vegan restaurant on the premise, Brother Abija. Give him a call at 478-256-1166, 478-256-1166. Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop, Macon, Georgia. Sun Goddess Scents, your one-stop natural shop located at 4140 Jonesboro Road in Forest Park, Georgia, inside the International Discount Mall, booth 225. Contact my good sister Shelly Amonset at 404-434-7963. That's 404-434-7963. Sanjay-Aidi, Sister Gabriella Aurelia has been doing great work with the children in the northeastern portion of the island of Haiti. And they have no possibility of doing stuff through the government. So they rely on us, brothers and sisters. Give them a go to the website, sanjay-aiti.org, and see for yourself. sonjay-aiti.org. sanjay-aiti.org. Ackerman Institute, Baba Baruti. Baba Baruti will be in Baltimore. I gave Brother Irv that information. I should have wrote it down because I like to give it to you. Maybe I can get it from Irv. Maybe he'll call and get it from Irv. But Baba Baruti will be in Baltimore this Saturday. And so for those who are in Baltimore or close, a good opportunity to hear one of the most dynamic brothers. I ain't talking about from an oratory standpoint, but knowledge, commitment, desire. Man, he's down. Prolific writer. Just a beautiful man. Him and his wife, Mama Inia. The people love them. So his Ackerman Institute, his school, is hanging in there. But, hey, go to Ackerman Institute. And you can then go to PayPal and make a donation or go to Cash App. You go to PayPal, Yah Baruti at Yahoo, Yah, Y-A-A, Baruti, B-A-R-U-T-I, at Yahoo. Or PayPal, or Cash App, $, Yah, Y-A-A, the letter M, and then Baruti, B-A-R-U-T-I, for Cash App. Also, too, if you want to check out some of the books that Baba Baruti, who, as I said, he's a prolific writer, go to Ackerman House, A-K-O-B-E-N, AckermanHouse.com, AckermanHouse.com. The Inyasisim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. The Inyasisim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. Needs a light. It works better for me now that I know that I need light along with these glasses. Yes, sir. February 13th. Merely appending black to feminism, black feminism, is insufficient, particularly since Africana women have served as models for Caucasian women in their struggle to move from home to workplace and to break silence. Africana women have always been in the workplace next to their man or their male counterparts. Moreover, they have always been verbal, voicing their opinions about issues in general. Hence, naming ourselves after white women and concentrating most of our energies on their agenda would be an act of duplicating a duplicate. The agenda of Africana women is uniquely our own. It is one that is grounded in our history and our culture, and hence Africana women cannot risk sacrificing our struggle for the benefit of someone else's struggle. Sister Hudson Weems. Hold on, you're right. It is illogical, as we mythicize in the story, the mythological story of Lysistra, that Greek woman withholding sex from their men would stop them from killing each other when the embattled men were homosexual on and off the battlefield. The Greeks. What possible deterrent to anything is the threat of refusing heterosexual sex to homosexuals? Such a warning would only be viable if one of the Urugu's tragic comedies. Further, we must stop separating the Urugu female mind from that of their males. The hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. And the feminized image of Urugu females only become so as a result of its abuse by their arrogant males. Never forget, her feminist thought and behavior also began in the caves and progressed with a hateful intensity, which has purely always been about power. It was about supplanting Urugu males. It was about Yorugu females replacing Yorugu males with their own brand of sexist barbarity. And it remains so. Ashe. Affirm, I am not a Eurocentric feminist. Affirm, I am not a Eurocentric feminist. February 14th. Each day brings the opportunity for development. Each day brings the opportunity to start again and to continue with the work that you started the day before and the day before that. Do not underestimate the strength of each new beginning of each day. The strength of that new beginning is the springboard of your future. So take each day with great significance and each day with great confidence, great appreciation, because the day after is not promised. Ashe. Asoyo Yebe. The depth to which menticide rules our fear is revealed in how easily and arrogantly historically sworn enemies can still daily murder us in our face in every way imaginable with impunity, and our only response remains conversation. As time escapes, we must be real in any substantial change is to occur in our condition and possibilities. If we are sane and lucid, we have to move beyond the point of knowing that no excuses, no explanations, no rationalizations can do. We have to move beyond the point of coming to grips with the fact that we refuse to do so is based on a menticidal fear of standing as responsible warriors. Only a terrifying menticide fear could account for such a degenerative inaction, especially when the daily atrocities committed against us occur wantonly and repeatedly, and we actively see our best coping mechanisms as seeking any arguable escape possible from the responsibilities of a glaring truth that has been in our face since we were born. Warriors have no fear. Warriors have no fear. Daily they affirm victory and act on that affirmation. Daily they act to seek more effective means of bringing a peaceful, more secure order to our lives and a corrective justice to the creators of chaos. Daily they progress away from insanity and they stand. Ashe. Affirm, I welcome an opportunity offered with each new day. Affirm, I welcome the opportunity offered with each new day. Since I'm not going to be here Friday, Brother Irv will be with you on Friday. I'll be in Las Vegas for my dear friend's homegoing. My good friend, my brother, worked together well over 10 years in the fire service. Yep, Brother Everett Lee Crowcroft. Yes, sir. So I'm going to read this one of the Inyasasim of Daily Revolutionary Thought, February 15th. In every vital activity, it is the path that matters. In every vital activity, it is the path that matters. Kemetic proverb. If entertainment is required in order for our warriors to actually feel a genuine, compelling need to do some real, serious, productive, selfless frontline work, then the difficulty we continue to encounter in successfully confronting and countering our eternal enemies is far deeper than most would begin to imagine. Having to be entertained into doing our work is like having to be on camera to be altruistic. True service comes from the heart without self-serving, gratuitous enticement. Ashe. Affirm, my focus is not on the goal. I concern myself more with learning from the path taken to do it. My focus is not on the goal. I concern myself more with learning from the path that it takes to do it. Brothers and sisters, that is the Inyasasim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. Peace, family. We're going to just go round and round with a few things and what's on your mind. You guys send me a lot of good Send me a lot of good stuff on Facebook and, you know, stuff like that. And I'm really appreciative of that. Yeah. Oh. I hit something and bam, all the stuff was erased. Damn. Sometimes you got to be careful around the technology, man. You can hit something or do something. Next thing you know, all your stuff is gone. Be like, damn, what happened? Yeah. Be like, damn, what happened? Yeah, my good brother, Corn Robertson, Cornelius Robertson, sent me some good stuff off of Facebooks and all these other chats. Yeah. So I'm going to play some of these, and we're going to discuss them, give some comment to them. And there's a lot of few other stuff that's been sent to me over time that I really appreciate. You know, I really do. Because some of the stuff is on point. You know what I'm saying? It's on point. Yeah. And some of the stuff, I'm talking about the serious stuff. I ain't talking about the comical stuff. I mean, that's cool too, but I'm talking about stuff that should be given some consideration and some thought. Here's one, VOI. Okay, let's see what. This is Gil Scott Heron.
How could the folks be civilized when wasn't nobody writing nothing down? And just to prove all of their suspicions, well, didn't take too long. They found out that there were whole tribes of people in plain sight, running around with no clothes on. That's right. The men, the women, the young, and the old righteous folks covered their eyes. And no time was spent considering the environment. Hell no, this just wasn't civilized. And another piece of information they had, or at least this is what we were taught, is that unlike the civilized people of Europe, these tribal units actually fought. And yes, there was some crude implements, and yes, there was primitive art, and yes, they were masters of hunting and fishing, and courtesy came from the heart. And yes, there was love and medicine, religion, intertribal communication by drum. But no paper, no pencils, and no other utensils. And hell, these folks never even heard of a gun. And this is why the colonies came, to stabilize the land. Because the Dark Continent had copper and gold, and the discoverers had themselves a plan. They would discover all the places with promise. You didn't need no titles and deeds. Then they would appoint people to make everything legal, to sanction the trickery and greed. And back in the jungle, when the natives got restless, they would call it guerrilla attack. And they would never describe that the folks finally got wise and decided that they would fight back. And still, we are victims of word games. Semantics is always a bitch. Places once referred to as underdeveloped are now called mineral rich. And the game goes on eternally, unity kept just beyond reach. Egypt and Libya used to be in Africa. They've now been moved to the Middle East. Mm. There are examples galore, I assure you. But if interpreting were left up to me, I'd be sure every time folks knew this version wasn't mine, which is why it is called his story.
I remember when one of my uncles introduced me to Gil Scott Heron. It was on a Saturday morning. He was home from the military and just came back from Korea. And I was watching one of the Saturday morning cartoons, and they don't show this cartoon anymore, but it was one of those where the Looney Tunes went into Africa, and they had the little African guy, and he had the bone in his nose, and running around talking about some ooga booga, and all this kind of stuff. And my uncle was like, this is the kind of stuff they're showing you on TV. But it ain't the real thing that was going on. So he introduced me to this poem, and it began to change my mindset on how I view history and research. You see, even at that early age, I was already into history, mainly because I used to sit and read the encyclopedias. And the encyclopedia, you know, that green and white one? Everybody know that green and white one. And then I got that Britannica. It was a whole new story. But I started realizing that I would read other people's books and read histories written by people who look like me and read the histories of the people of those countries. And I came to realize that technology made a difference in the cultural minds of people. And because the Europeans had greater technology based on the need to have that technology, it wasn't as if they were a greater society, a greater people, a greater thinkers. It's just a mere fact of necessity breeds out invention. I remember him explaining to me back then that the only reason that the Europeans developed their technologies that was far advanced from those who were in Africa and India was simply because, and in the Americas, was simply because they had a need for it. You see, we got everything that we needed from the land. Our African ancestors didn't have a need to go out and explore like they did beyond the areas to which they are already living in, because the ground provided everything that they needed. I started to realize that the clothing was different because hell is hot. It's hot in Africa. And so there is no need, when you're not living up in the mountains of Europe and dealing with that evil white shit that falls from the sky. I call it snow. Y'all call it snow. I call it that evil white shit from the sky. There was no need to get all bundled up and to put on all these clothes, because it wasn't sufficient for the area, to the environment that they was living in. And I started to realize that environment made a big difference as to how a people also grew and developed. There was no need for the large societies, even though we had some, but there was no need for those larger societies to be as comprehensive and, comprehensive as was needed in Europe, because the land was so vast that we had plenty of room to spread out. And I started to come to that realization that history is truly his story. His story written by those who were the victors. You know, the Chinese didn't need guns. They saw gunpowder as something used for celebration, to create firecrackers and things of that nature. They didn't need to create guns to massacre each other. They still fought with swords and spears and arrows, but they had the advantage of horsebacks, which gave them more of an even kill, which is why the Mongols were able to do what they was able to do. The Huns was able to do what they was able to do. Plus, their terrain was much different than the terrain that you experienced in Africa, the terrain that you experienced in the Americas. So I made this video really to pay homage to my Uncle Denon, who got me started in researching history beyond what the schools was willing to teach me and what American society had already agreed upon. I got another video, kind of speaking the same, that's coming up soon after this one. And then get more deep into that one. So y'all have a great day. And remember always, you got to free yourself to be yourself, because your greatness is non-negotiable. Good journey, good vibrations.
I tell you, most racist state I've been to.
Yeah. So I'm going to go to some mouth stuff, yeah? Here's some African leaders that didn't know. These are all killed by Western society at various times. And great men, particularly Patrice Lumumba, what he was about going to do with with the wealth of the Congo, and Mobutu Sese Seko was put in there, and him along with all the other Europeans were ripping the Congo off, which is probably the most mineral rich soil on the planet. On the planet. So here's five, introducing you to five African leaders that were killed by the West.
We look at the five African presidents assassinated for refusing to be their puppets. Five, Laurent Kabila, Democratic Republic of Congo, 2001. Four, Samuel Doe, Liberia, 1990. 3. Sir Abubakar Tafawa Baluo, Nigeria, 1966. 2. Thomas Sankara, Burkina Faso, 1987. 1. Patrice Lumumba, DR Congo, 1961.
Yeah, Patrick Lumumba. I'm really saddened. I'm by them all. Thomas Sankara, great young mind. But I'm really fascinated by it all. Sad. Saddened by it all, in fact. Yeah. Yeah. So, Brother Korn sent me that. I'm going to play this one. And this is deep. This is a conversation. This is a conversation that's going. That's deep. Let me play this.
It's you liberals who have lifted them up, Howard.
Paul, you conservatives make a mistake. You can't afford to strangle hope in people. Without hope, people become dangerous.
No, Howard, you liberals have let them invade our society. You give them jobs, political jobs.
Paul, you missed the point. It's only the smart ones we move up.
That makes it even worse.
Oh, you know, we have to move them up. If we leave a smart one in the ghetto, he might develop into a leader against us. But if we raise him up into white society, we neutralize him. He feels compelled to try to act like us. He loses his identity and his racial anger, if he has any. He becomes alien to his brothers. They realize he sold them out and they grow to hate him. He becomes worthless to them and safe for us. No, thank you. In fact, in his love for the creature comforts, except for his color, he's become one of us.
It's you liberals who have lifted them up, Howard.
Yeah. They're talking about how to keep... I was going to play this one, but I'll find it later. And the dinner party that they had... And Brother Morgan, I'll play it after the break, yeah, because this is a tough one. So let me get another one here for you, and of course you can give us a call at 215-490-9832 at any moment if you want to break in and talk about any of the ones that I've played so far, and I tell you, people send me a lot of good stuff, family. They really do appreciate it very much. It's, you know, there's been a couple that I've received and I couldn't. I've had them and then the next thing you know, I don't have them. Like, what the hell? Yeah. So. Okay. That's not happening. And. Yeah, well, once again, I'm going to search once I go to the break. My break today is going to be interesting. I got, I'm going to play for you the time, Morris Day. And I love Morris Day and the Time. I'm not sure if you do, but hey, I do. And when they did the Soul Train last year, you know, a nice little medley, a nice medley of about 8 minutes. So we're going to play that. In fact, I'm going to go do that. Let's do that now so I can have an opportunity to search for this. So I'm going to have an opportunity to search for what I want to play. Yeah. So. All right, brothers and sisters, yeah, let's do that. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on TimeForAnAwakening.com and BlackTalkRadioNetwork.com. We'll be right back. You stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
on my fingers. Look out, y'all. I got a couple on my toes. Hey, I put the fine perfume on a can by. It keeps me smelling like a rose. If you wonder how I do it, so trained. There's just one simple rule. Let me hear y'all say it. I'm just. Uh-oh.
everybody, just the sexy people. White folks, you're not too tight. Come on, you gotta shake your head like the black folks. You might get some tonight. Look out, America, have you heard? We got a sexy new dance, it's called the bird. You don't need no finesse or no personality. You just need two eyes and an attitude. And everybody sing, come on, y'all. Hallelujah. Look out. Soul Train, I can't hear you. Yes, hallelujah. Come on.
Chili sauce. Oh.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
All right, family. I tell you, I love Morris Day and the Time. Let me find that piece I'm looking for here in a minute. And, yeah, family, you can join the conversation by dialing 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. We're going to find this particular piece with Joe Morton in it. It's a great piece. Yeah. And I've played it before, so, yeah. So where is it at here? Yeah, family. It is right here. Mm-hmm. Dinner in America. Yeah, this is it right here. Come on, stop. You know, like I said, the technology, I am not that good with, but I try, Donna. I sure do, family, I try. Okay, here we go. It's not long. It's not long, fam. But it's impactful. And I know many of you know what I'm talking about.
Say something.
You want me to say something? Fine. I'll say something. You people. You're not a race. You are a virus. You destroy the world. Everything beautiful, you poison. You drag us from our homes. You rape our daughters, murder our sons. You crack our spines and do all you can to break our will. You stab us. Then you put the knife in our hand and tell us it's our fault. And if you don't do it yourself, you stand by, close your eyes, and pretend there's nothing wrong. And then you pray to your God to silence our scream so that you can enjoy the happiness that we built for you with our blood. But it's not your fault. It's the only way you know how to be. And the only thing that will change anything is if another virus comes along and does to you what you do to us. And I hope that happens very soon.
Wow. This evening obviously hasn't gone as I'd hoped. And I think I'm having a full-on panic attack right now. So I'm going to go to the bathroom and get myself together. And when I come back, I hope you don't see me as the devil.
Yeah. Yeah. I know some of you have probably heard that before. You know, I know you probably have. You know, sorry about that. Thank you. And I tell you, it's a good piece. I've played it a number of times before. Reality is that's what they are. That's what they've been. That's what we try to. I mean, it's not about dogging our Caucasians, but let's be real. There's that saying, of all our studies, history is best qualified to reward our research. Look at the history. And look at the history that they write. I'm an objective observer of history. I really am, and I've even noted the times that we were wrong, on the wrong, as Africans, on the wrong side of history. But the fact of the matter is, we do have a glorious history. We don't have a history of conquering, you know, of pillaging, of taking, you know. That is not our history, you know. When the Moors were in Spain and Portugal in the Iberian Peninsula, in the western part of the Asian continent, call it Europe, because Europe is not a continent. Family, Europe is not a continent by definition. It just proves the arrogance of Caucasians, the arrogance of Europeans. Europe is not a continent. That little part of Western Asia that dips out beyond the Caucasus Mountains, they use that as the dividing line. That's why in what is Turkey? Turkey is both in the, quote, European continent and the Asian continent. You know, fact, that was the capital for when they moved the capital from Rome to Constantinople, later to be called Istanbul, Turkey. You know, these are the Europeans. They do what they want to do. And so we were the major influence, that's dark-skinned, melanated men called Moors who came with Islam, you know, because Islam, that's why Northern Africa is Arab looking, and Islam is predominant in Kemet or Egypt, Libya,
Algeria, Morocco, Mauritania, and so forth and so on. And but anyway, so after so many hundreds of years of teaching them how to bathe themselves, get them damn animals out the castle and put them in a corral, or corral them, and all kinds of other stuff, irrigation, man, just so many things that Europe had an awakening, had a renaissance. And men came to prominence, always men, because once again, Europeans, Caucasians, wherever they are, whoever they are, they are not ones who look at men and women equitably. You know, men dominate. They come from very hard core patriarchal societies. That was not the African society. In fact, matrilineal more so. But of course, everybody knew their role. There was a complementarity between men and women. Always, when you look at ancient Kemet, you see a man and a woman. You don't see men. You don't see statues of men with men or men with boys, little girls, pedophiles. This is the Greeks. This is the Romans. This is Europe. That's why they fell into them so-called dark ages, medieval ages. No learning going on. So now they became enlightened and learning is going on. They taking information. They got map making from the Muslims and shipbuilding and so forth. And now they want to venture out. Marco Polo goes to China, comes back with gunpowder the Chinese use for celebration. But they used, of course, to fashion superior weaponry. In fact, I've always said on this program, Caucasians have always found a better way to kill your ass. Listen, if you want to get in on this conversation, want to add something to it, or whatever you want to go with it, give us a call at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. There's a number of you in the queue already. Just hit star twice, and you can get in. Like my good brother, Brother Irv. Brother Irv Lewis, what's happening, man?
Babos, yeah, I'm well. And I hear that you're well also. You know, I've been in the queue since last night. I've been holding on all night, just waiting for you to bring me up.
Okay.
I'm just joking, Babos. I have not been in here all night.
But listen, I do want you, if you can, if you got that information, because I didn't write it. I don't have the information in front of me that I need. That information about Baltimore on this Saturday at the church.
Well, Baba Baruti. Morningstar Baptist Church from 1 to 4, I think it is.
Right.
Baba Baruti will be here at Morningstar on East Fayette Street. Very easy to find right downtown. But I will definitely be there to meet Baba Baruti. I've never met him, and I'm really looking forward to this, Baba Oshie. You brightened me up when you told me about that, and he's going to have some books there, and he's going to speak, and I can't wait. I can't wait. When I hear these, and I call him a scholar, mm-hmm. when I hear these scholars speak, people who've done the work, people who've done the research, and not only that, they live the life that they're speaking.
Uh-huh.
You know, when I hear a brother who has changed his name, who's actually changed, he's stripped his European name and changed his name to an African name. I'm not saying that that's going to change the world or change anything, but I do think that is such an interesting step to do. I hear brothers who abandon this Christian religion and abandon their Islam religion for more spiritual African religion, which was the first religions.
Right.
And I can see, I get that part. But when you actually change your name to an African name, you're actually telling people before they even meet you that you are conscious, that you're conscious to the point where you know who you are. You read a few things, you've heard a few things, and you've come to the conclusion that I don't need this European name. My name is not Shaquille O'Neal. My name is not Washington, Carver, Johnson, Joe
Smith. Johns and Curry Joseph Smith.
It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. I mean, you know, like the coach of my grandson's team is George Washington. You know, his name is
George Washington?
And his son is George Washington III. He named his son George Washington. There's obviously a middle name in there. You know, I don't know what that is, but I don't know. Knowing me, just like when I asked my mother, so I'm going to change my name, and she said, "Well, go ahead, because I know you're going to do it anyway. You don't have to ask me for a blessing or permission. So I know you're going to do the shit anyway. So go ahead, Eddie. Go ahead, Eddie Brown."
Eddie Brown.
Yeah.
Who the hell is Eddie Brown?
Yeah, really, that's what I say. No, Eddie Brown's a good brother, man. He's because, you know, the thing is this, though. You know, I've never advocated for name changes for us because there have been some people who are given some very beautiful names, meaningful names, some Arabic, some African, you know, some family names and so forth, but done heinous things. So it ain't about a name. You know,
no.
It sure ain't about a name. And so I don't advocate name changes. I advocate mind changes because once your mind is right, everything else will begin to fall into place. And if you feel because your mind is right, that a name change is right for you, it'll be done, you know. And even though the cost of it, I'm quite sure, has gone up since I did it. I did it back in the late 80s. You know,
right.
And how I did it was very economical because I knew a sister. I had a sister who was a paralegal. So all I had to do was get the forms. I got the forms from the legal forms store. She filled them all out for me. I submitted them, and I had some couple of court dates. You know, probably the whole thing cost me less than $100, maybe $200, you know, which now it may cost you, you know, high hundreds. You know, to change your name. And then when I went in front of the commissioner, he asked me, why am I changing my name? Am I trying to escape creditors or something like that? And that's what some people do. He said, no, I just want to get rid of this European name.
Oh, wow.
But that's the truth, though. You know, that's the truth. I did want to do that and tell him that. But that, I mean, I appreciate and love my family. You know, my mom and so forth. But I felt having an African, you know, when you begin to immerse yourself into the history of our people and you begin to believe in being African, you know, it is something that that is vitally important is to change your name. But to me, that is not the utmost importance because you can still do for African people. I'm the same person as Eddie Brown that I am as Oshiemi Adelabu, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I had love then. I have love now for African people, you know. But I think that by changing my name shows a rather serious commitment to African people.
That's correct.
See, yeah. and you have
to understand. You don't have to, but I would like if you understood it. It's not what they call you.
That's right.
It's what you answer to.
Yes, sir.
It's what you answer to. But the name change is I'm not doing this for a show. This ain't a series that comes on every Thursday. This is more internal to me than anything else. It makes me feel good about me. I'm not trying to out African you. You ain't black if you don't vote for me. I'm not trying to out black you, Biden.
Yeah.
I'm just, you know what I'm saying? I'm trying. This is all something to do with me. But Baba Oshi, I wanted to comment on what you played where the brother was talking about the virus of Arugu.
Yeah.
That you're a virus and you won't be taken over until another virus comes and takes you over.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
So and there's so many hidden meanings in that little piece you played because you can interpret that to say that I have to turn into you in order to defeat you.
Mm.
But see, the reality is just because we know that and just because we're having this conversation, Arugu's already defeated. That's the part that makes me That's why when you a white person will look at me and I'm smiling,
mm-hmm.
and he said, "Why are you smiling?" Because you're already dead. You're the walking dead. There's nothing you can tell me about me. You can't tell me that Africa needs to be governed by white people, because white people put Africa in the situation that they're in because they have Africans have a loving heart.
Mm-hmm.
And once you let these white folks off that boat to mediate your differences, you thought they were helping you when they were helping themselves. You know that no one's going to do, especially the Caucasian that we live amongst. He's not going to do anything to help you beat him out of anything.
No,
if you think he's going to get, come on,
you are
not going to give you a bag of money.
Yes.
And we will give y'all reparations. You see this big house I'm in? I'm going to give you a big house just like mine. No, he's not.
No.
The whole system is set up so that if someone is exploited, then the system works. And if you're part of the system, then you have to exploit people too. That's how this works. There has to be workers and bosses.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody's got to do the work. Has to reap the benefits of your work, of your labor. And you got to believe that you're going to get yours, amen, on the other side. Amen just means you agree.
That's
you're going
right.
to get yours on the other side.
Yeah, I say.
You know, we're going to get ours here. So not to be preachy or preaching, and just not a sermon, it's just a thought. Think about the system that you live under and think about how you got to this place. Mm-hmm. But you worship money and you worship people. And no, everyone loves a great speaker. I know I do. I used to listen, and I have listened on YouTube to the father, Dr. Clark, and all these other scholars on YouTube. And it really it gets me excited to hear them speak.
I love it.
Yeah. But when you start to hear these Baptist preachers and these Muslim ministers. They're exciting to be able to preach and to be able to get people riled up with the word is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
But after the show is over, after the lights go off, after the Uber comes and picks you up, then what happens? Because you've been seated now. Now what's growing inside of you? Is something growing that's going to help your people towards liberation and self-determination, or is something growing in you that's going to help you do for you? It's going to help me, you know, I'm going to get my house. I'm going to get my car because, you know, individualism is where we at, brother.
Yeah.
Do it. I got to take care of me. I can't help you till I help myself.
Yep.
No, stop talking about I. Stop talking about them and start talking about we. And I'm going to leave it right there.
There it is.
I'm going to leave it right there. Let's talk about we. Let's talk about us. Let's talk about American Africans. And ain't nothing wrong with that, because a Mexican talks about Mexicans, a Chinese man talk about Chinese, a German talks about Germans. Why can't we talk about American Africans?
Yeah.
Why can't we talk about lifting each other up?
Yeah.
Stop it.
Yeah.
I don't need a Super Bowl to tell me that Usher can dance. I knew he could dance before he came on television. I understand that the game is being run on us, that diverting your mind to entertainment, because entertainment is school. So you can learn, you know everything about the Chiefs. You don't know a damn thing about Africa. Stop it.
Yeah.
Stop letting them drive your train. Drive your own train. Read the books you want to read. Don't let them give you, you're taking books out of libraries. I don't give a damn about a library. I got a library in my house. I have a library in my house.
Yeah.
Come on. Stop being led by the nose and, brother, start leading. Stop. Be the change that you talk about.
Yep.
And don't talk about what people ain't doing. You notice when I, Baba Oshie, when I come on this radio with you, I never talk about what black people ain't did. You know, we bad. It's terrible for us, man. We ain't gonna never have nothing. You know, I'm glad I got me a Cadillac. No, stop it. Let's talk about what we have done. Let's talk about what we're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about how we can get together and do something bigger and better instead of always talking about, man. You know, it's rough out here, boy. Ooh, I know it's rough.
Yeah.
I'm tired right now. I'm tired of talking. That's why I'm going to stop right now and let somebody else get on.
All right. Well, those who are
somebody
in the queue, there's a number of you guys. You know, to hit star twice. You want to get in on conversation, hit star twice.
Yeah.
All right. Oh,
else.
Man, Kwaku. Hey,
Kwaku.
Brother Kwaku. What's happening, man?
Hey, man. How y'all doing? Y'all doing all right?
You're doing great. Yeah. What about you, dear brother?
I'm hanging in there. I'm heavy.
All right.
I'm minding about. But I'm going to have to connect with you a little later on, brother, so we can connect on Friday.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I'm in the Uber, man, so I can't. I just call and listen. I sent you the text.
Okay, you sent me a text? Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, brother. Thank you.
Yeah, but y'all continue on a good program so far, what I could have heard anyway, so I appreciate it.
Right on.
Great.
Thank you.
Yeah, don't talk in the Uber, brother, because they'll put you out.
Is that right? I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. Well, and the way you know the way you guys talk, yeah, they put me out. Getting me right out of here.
All right, man.
All right, man. Y'all
brother, brother Kwaku.
Brother Kwaku.
Yes, sir.
Peace.
I say.
In a minute. So all those others, you know, hit star twice. You can get in on the conversation. But let me play this. And I do play this. Mm-hmm. And I try to at least play this. I was playing it every other week or so. Mama Nabantu sent me this. This is Africa calling us. And to because as a member of the Pan-African Federalist Movement, and basically to have an established one Africa. You know, I ain't talking about 54 so-called sovereign nations, which they ain't. I'm talking about one African nation, on one African continent, controlling all the resources. Ain't nobody outside of us controlling a damn thing. No Chinese, no Europeans, no Arabs, no Koreans, nobody, nobody. Nobody. And I know for some of us, we feel, oh, man, yeah, that's not. No, I'm going to tell you, it's going to happen because we have to make it happen. Our very survival dictates that it happens, that it comes into existence. And I ain't talking about here in this country or on this continent or in this hemisphere. Damn that. Europeans have polluted. I was also trying to find that piece from Eric Prince with Blackwater. I played it the other day. Eric Prince is wealthy. He very wealthy. He's the one that is the mercenary. Him and his Blackwater private military group goes and does all kinds of stuff that some countries who want to overthrow somebody who wants it. I mean, just the evil stuff that they do. You know, and so he's saying in the piece, and I'm quite sure some of you probably seen it, he's saying in the piece to this other Caucasian, said, hey, African nations they're ill-equipped, their leadership is corrupt, you know, they don't do anything to help. So we got to go in there again. We got to go, colonization, we got to go in there again and save them from themselves. That's the disguise. But the bottom line is go in there and rip off the resources. They ain't going to do shit to help African people. The people. Let's be real. They never have. And they never will. We have to do that for ourselves, family. Let's play this piece. Brothers and sisters. Motherland is calling us. The leadership is calling us. Let us respond.
There is a lot of talk of late on the African continent about the fact that Africans are awaking. There is a lot of talk about the fact that we are woke. But the question that I would like to ask is, almost 100 years ago, a man called Marcus Garvey rose and told Africans that they must unite in their control of resources, unite as nations, unite their imaginations, their dreams, aspirations, and capabilities to grow in Africa, and a race that will be able to self-determine and compete against other races. A man called Kwame Nkrumah came and said the same message. And another by the name of Malcolm X said the same. But the question is, after almost a century since the rise of Marcus Garvey, has Africa achieved unity? Do we control our resources? Do we unite in our aspirations, dreams? And have we elevated Africa into a continent and a race that can compete and self-determine against other races? The truth of the matter is we have failed. We have failed because we have remained divided. We've continued to work as 54 different states that continue to be subjugated. This is why the French continue to have 14 colonies on the African continent. It is why 36 African countries have got American bases and AFRICOM on their soil. It is why many African countries continue to sell their resources, their institutions, for debt to countries like China. And the question that I'm now challenging you, the woke generation, with is what are we going to do about it? The reason we've got wars on the African continent is because we're being divided for conquest. The reason we've got sanctions on the African continent is that all the independent knowledge and education, the power to take control of our resources, can be destroyed so that Africa can continue to be colonized by our Western colonizers. This is why now we need to rise. Remember that you, the African American, with all your paper money, the greatest wealth among all black nations, only have paper money, but the true wealth is in Africa. The true wealth is the reason why Africa is under sanctions and war, the one that Europeans want to keep for themselves. You need to bring your paper money, your skill, your knowledge, your frustration back to Africa to invest it in the control of real wealth and real resources in the form of the oil, the diamonds, chrome, lithium, cassiterite, and all the other resources that the Western worlds are fighting to control in Africa. Your paper money can be leveraged into machines, skills, technology, and the knowledge that Africa needs in order to move and prosper. You, the Caribbean, with your skill, power, determination, you, the Jamaican, the first people to resist European colonialism. You, the Haitian, the very first black peoples to defeat a European army. You are the answer to Africa's problems. You, the European African, with all that you've learned and earned, the basketball player, the soccer player, the sportsman, the singer, the musician, the actor, with all your billions of dollars, are the investment that Africa needs to stop its dependency on the colonizer. It's about time that we rose. And I'm saying that Marcus Garvey's dream can be fulfilled, because when he dreamt it, not a single country, not a single African country was independent. When he dreamt it, billionaires existed, if any. But today we've got black billionaires. Today the richest man in Africa is a black man. We have what it takes and the capacity that it takes to grow our continent into being a continent that can be respected, can self-determine, control its resources, control the processing of those resources, and create currencies based on those resources to be the leading economy in the world. With that, we can industrialize, grow up the technology curve, and begin to create the machinery, the tools to defend the sovereignty of this continent. And now I say it's time that we unite. We have countries like Zimbabwe under US war sanctions to make it unattractive for any African to come, because Europeans are preserving it for themselves. But I'm inviting you, my African-American brother, you Africans in the diaspora, you Africans on the continent to say, come and take advantage of the greatest reserves of lithium, chrome, gold, true wealth, land, an opportunity to develop infrastructure for us to create wealth as a people, for yourselves, for the advancement of Africa. The time to awake is now, but awakening takes action, pride, investment, development, innovation to give our people power. This is the time.
Ashe. Yeah. The time is now, family. The time is now. And
Ashe.
Yeah. Time is now.
Baba Oshi.
Yes, sir.
It can't get any clearer than that.
No.
There's no question to ask after that. All the questions were answered. All the blueprint has already been written. But that right there clarified it to the point where there's nothing else to do, but it's go time.
Yeah.
It's action. Exactly. It's time to take action.
Exactly.
Because this brother, whoever it was, actually told you exactly what to do, where to go, how to do it. If it's about paper money, then you have that. If that's what we need to translate this vision into reality, then that's what we do. But that brother laid it out, man. He laid it out completely. I heard that before, but
I got that in 20. I've had it 4 years. I've been playing it consistently over that time. At one time I was playing, like I said, every other week, and then I've been playing at least about once a month. You know,
my God.
Yeah, I play at least about once a month as a constant reminder of the potential of us to do what we must and can do.
Must do. Yeah. Must do. Not
must
want.
Do.
Not maybe.
Yeah.
We have to do this.
Yeah.
My God. My God. This is that. Baba Oshi, that right there needs to be played before the national anthem and after the national anthem. Come on now.
Yeah.
That needs to be played every day in the so-called Black History Month, which I don't participate in because every day is Black History Month, far as I'm concerned. But they should play that because we learn through repetition, Baba Oshi. We learn, and that's why commercials keep the same. Why does the same commercial keep coming on for Burger King?
Right.
I saw it 10 minutes ago.
Right.
Because we learn through repetition, and we need to hear this right here. Every day, every hour. We need to hear it so that not only to ask the questions, we start to understand that it must be something to this. But when you hide your history, when you don't know your history, when you don't know all you're dealing with is the right now. And Baba Oshi, right now, Africa looks crazy. Right now, Black people are in a terrible situation. Right now, Black people don't have great families. But right now. But why is that? Because if you know your history, you'll see how we got here.
Mm-hmm.
We got here through Arugu's demonic behavior towards American Africans.
That's no doubt.
And I say demonic because it's not, it's past
it is.
Bad.
No, it is evil.
It's evil.
Evil.
Yeah. Come on, Baba Oshi.
Yeah.
Some of the things, I mean, to pull people apart, to turn family, and then act like you're my friend now. I want to marry you. All the things that you got from your ancestors. You're living it now, but I am not because my ancestors had nothing to give. My dad didn't leave no will. He didn't have I didn't get no inheritance.
Mm-hmm.
Donald Trump has never ever had a job in his entire life, and people are following him.
Yep.
Joe Biden is a career entrepreneur, a politician, and they're following these people. Following them to where? Where is he taking you? What's the end game here? But nobody wants to see that, Baba Oshi. All I know is I got me a Cadillac. You know, I got a nice house. Where's the we? And the brother on that video was talking about the game changing of the we, of the community,
mm-hmm.
not the I.
He said, he didn't say nothing about it. I'm going to get rich. He never said that. Never said that. It was about his people.
Right.
And you can rise no higher than the condition of your people. I don't care who you are.
Right.
Louis Farrakhan, T.D. Jakes, you ain't no better than me because you got money in the bank. You get sick, you need a kidney like anybody else or a blood transfusion. Stop it.
Yeah.
We're all different, but we're all the same. But what we have to realize is when the choices that you make dictate your condition. The condition we're in is because of the choices that we made. And white people have made some choices for us.
Right, exactly. I was about to point that out because
yes.
Some of us believe that you're in that condition because of the choices you made. No, not because we made it. No, we were steered. We were conveniently steered. We were made to feel and do what's happening. So, yeah.
That's correct. Mm-hmm. And then the laws, and they put the laws in place to support what they want you to do.
Yeah.
And then you know what, Bobos, if you keep feeding a guy a half a glass of dirty water, usually it'll come a time where he'll ask for that glass of water. Can I get that dirty glass of water?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because is the lesser of two evils.
Yeah.
When did we do that? When did we fall into the lesser of two evils? When did that happen, Baba Oshi? I don't remember that part.
Well, I can't pinpoint it, but the bottom line has been is that because we chose as a people to continuously hope and pray that this situation would get better for us collectively, you know, not individually, because we recognized there were some individuals who did well. You know, some were ass kissers or bootlickers. Some were straight up men and women, you know, but it's just a few of us. It wasn't us. It wasn't the mass of us because it's not designed to do a benefit for us in mass. It's designed to, you know, individualism, materialism, greed and violence. That's what America is, individualism. And so many people, you know, they feel that as long as I'm getting mine, I don't give a damn about you not getting yours. In fact, if you don't get yours, it's your fault.
It's your fault. Mm-hmm. And you're absolutely correct. But what you don't see, you don't think of. Because the mass incarceration piece works fine when you're 13% of the population, but you're 75 to 80% of the mass incarceration population. So how does that work? That's working well and good, but you don't see criminals. You don't see people in jail. If you saw them on TV every day, you would have a problem with it. That's why, Bobo, you remember the Vietnam War when they would show those brothers and coming back with the flags over the casket.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, they said, we got to stop this. And they stopped it.
Mm-hmm.
Afghanistan was a war for over 20 years. You never saw one casket draped in a flag on TV because they understand the visual is what changes thought and changes behavior. So what are they showing me? They keep showing me Burger King commercials. I want no damn Burger King. I'm just saying, Baba Oshi, that Irugu has figured out the mind control. And you said at the end of every show, not the M-I-N-E, the M-I-N-D, you understand that the mind is what Irugu wants. He don't want your money. He don't want your children because you'll gladly give him your children. It's March Madness is about to happen, Baba Oshi.
Yeah.
And all these black people are taking their children to these white people. Here, take little Bobby. Bobby can shoot a basketball. Take him and make him into a millionaire so he can buy his mother a house. Really? A house.
Yeah.
How about a business? How about we start our own league?
Yeah, whatever. Oh, no, that's not going to happen. No, not start your own league. Oh, hell no. You know, the thing is when you look at the European, he does not want competition. He finds ways to destroy the competition, you know. But some things couldn't be helped, you know, when the Japanese started making cars and the big three, GM, Chrysler, and Ford, were taking big hits. And I'm quite sure they wish they could, you know, blow up some plants in Japan, you know, of Nagasaki and Toyota and so forth. But they, you know. But the bottom line is they don't want to compete. And they sure the hell don't want us competing, you know, with them, you know.
So when you, when Baba Oshi, when you as an American African start to compete against an Arugu, you're labeled as un-American.
Mm-hmm.
When you start to talk to a Arugu and saying that I'm an African first, and then I'm American, you are un-American. But yeah. when any other culture celebrates their culture, it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, that's
you got to keep your Indian heritage. You got to keep your Mexican heritage. But soon as a black man, come on now, a black man says, I am African first.
Yeah,
you're un-American.
Yeah.
Go back to Africa.
Well, it's just like this past weekend at the Super Bowl when I didn't see it or didn't hear it. I wish I now could. I should try to go online to see I know it was not received very well when the sister did the Black National Anthem, you know, and some Caucasians were booing it, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were booing. They sit down.
Right. They wouldn't stand for it. And I don't care if they don't stand for it. Now, booing it is another story, you know, but I don't give a damn if they don't stand for it, you know. But
I don't give a damn if they boo it.
Gets it, you know.
I don't give a damn about the Chiefs or the guys or the NFL.
No, I know I don't either. But my point, right? But my point is, if that is our anthem, you know, just like our flag, those things are important to me. Now, I would love for us to have a different anthem than the one James Weldon Johnson, his brother, you know, developed.
Right?
It's cool. It's cool.
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah,
it's cool.
It's cool.
It is what it is. But yeah, no, but you're right. Yeah. I agree with you 110%, Baba Oshi.
Let me catch this caller. We got a number of
people. Do that for sure.
And so just hang on, Brother Irv. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Brother Ted Lusk, what's happening, man? What's happening, brother?
Good morning, Baba Oshi, and good morning to all the other callers. I'm just going to keep my statement very simple. And in talking about the statement that I'd like to make is that we are good people. We are good people.
We are.
And so when we start to reflect more on that, we will become good people. Thank you for very, very much for taking my call.
Ashe. Not only will we become good people, but become better people. No, we are. Once again, look at the history, family. Look at the history. Look at the history when people came into our land. And we accepted and treated them with respect. Didn't know their ulterior motive would come back later and as conquerors, you know? But that is the European. That is the European mindset, you know, which has been glamorized by movies and Go West, Young Man, and, you know, the idea of the conquering herd, you know? That is who they are. Brother Jay, how you doing?
Black man, black man, black man.
I say.
What's going on, Irv? Let's see. Has the black man ever been in a position to where as the white man hasn't tried to dominate him? Ever since we left this cracker out the cage, he's been nothing but a problem to the planet. I mean, let's be honest. He's the most diabolical, destructive being on the planet. He's been that.
There's no doubt about that. He's been that.
He's a virus.
Yeah.
That's all he is. Yeah. He's a virus.
Well,
and
just like that piece. That's why
that
piece of Joe Morton at the dinner, you know, is outstanding. And it's a correct piece. Because he's a virus,
and he's infected
the world.
Who wrote that? I wonder if a white man wrote that. And I'm surprised that the white man would even allow for that to be presented to the world, because it's probably one of the best and most accurate statements in regards to the no good, filthy, stinking bastard.
Yeah.
As my boy used to say, a no good ball of syphilitic pus.
Damn.
I mean, You know, I mean, if you think about it, that's basically what he is. He's a virus.
Yeah.
I mean, it's never a humane exchange on a non-individual basis. It's always a situation where there's some destruction involved. You know, I mean, it's always using, you know, animals to wreak havoc on human life. And using human animals also, I mean, to wreak havoc on human life.
Yeah.
At the sacrifice, and this is the thing that kills me, is at the sacrifice of their own.
Yeah, hell yeah.
It's not like the white man. It's not like the white man.
But see, that's the thing, right? Because once again, Jay, it's about individualism, materialism.
Yeah, he don't care about violence.
So
no,
he doesn't.
Yeah, he'll let his mother die. He'll let his sister and his brother die. He let his neighbor die.
Save his own self, of course.
His sole purpose is to survive, as one would say, the catastrophe of whatever diabolical plot he has in place. He want to go to the moon. He want to set up new Earth living stations on Mars. All this crazy shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Instead of just being humane and allowing people to live and get along, it's you know, if you think about it, it's really crazy when you put into context the nature and the behavior of, as Ralph would say, and Irv would say, and most intelligent people would say, of the Yorugu.
Yeah. Well, listen,
you know, that Marimba, she dropped the Yorugu for what the Yorugu is.
Yep.
He's an incomplete human being,
right,
dog.
Incomplete being. Yep. Listen, I got some other callers, Jay. Let me try to catch some of these folks.
Oh, yeah. I guess it's time for our three times a week lecture and guidance by the monkey. Talk to you later.
Later, Jay. Hey, sister, how you doing?
Hello?
Yes. Good afternoon.
Yeah, I'm blessed.
All right.
You know, we are beautiful people. We're not a monkey people. I kind of, you know, makes me feel a little offended to return to our beautiful brothers and sisters as monkeys. So we are such a beautiful people, and we got to respect and love ourselves. I know that earlier on you were talking about names. You know, advocating for our African names. And I do think it's a beautiful thing. I think
I would agree.
You know, because it's a liberating thing. It shows the love we have for ourselves with reclaiming our beautiful history. Cynthia McKinney, she was speaking on Brother Elliot's show, and a lot of times they recite a picture of Toby, you know, when Toby was getting beaten down, and they was beating him. He said, I'm Kunta Kinte. He was so proud. He loved his African heritage. And the European was
until they beat him into submission. What's your
name,
boy?
Yeah.
Toby.
Yes. And so, you know, so there's a power in our name, too. And so I think that, you know, I think it's one of the great things we can do for ourselves. And I advocate it, you know, and just being African and natural African.
We're African, and that's the bottom line. Yeah. Not based upon our names, but based upon who we are as African people and wherever we are.
Yeah, we're not Paul Jones or John or whatever.
Right.
And it's just
exactly.
A reality. It's a reality of who we are. And so, I love my African name. Y'all standing up and we did it as a movement. It was a very easy thing. I think I changed my name in 74 or 75 or something. And you know, it was just a liberating, beautiful, positive thing.
Right.
And you know, part of our liberation struggle.
Exactly.
So,
all right, my
you
sister.
Know, I wanted to but I really wanted to say ashe to you and send condolences for the loss of your beautiful brother friend. And
yes.
Hope he just rests in peace and power.
Yes, he's a good man.
So, you know, may you have
a
safe trip.
He made an impact. Yeah.
I shaved at a program.
All right, my sister. So, thank you.
Yeah.
Peace.
Good thanks.
Abibi Fahodie.
Abisa Fahodie.
All right. Good afternoon. Good morning. Good evening, Brother Paul. How you doing, dear brother?
Hey, oh.
Yo.
Baba Ochi, why can't you just tell him that your name ain't O? Oh, you're not Prince. Your name is Eddie, or is it Baba Ochi?
I like oh Baba Ochi.
Listen, sister, beautiful, beloved, beautiful, beloved sister. Listen, you've got to allow people to call people names. You've just got to allow it because that's the level of their intelligence. People always resort to name calling because they lack integrity and they lack intelligence. But it's still cool because we're a mixed bunch of people. Not all of us. We're all at different levels.
Yeah.
So sometimes you just got to allow them to reach the level of proper intelligence where they can articulate themselves without calling people names and saying all kind of nonsense and bull crap and all kind of foolishness. Yeah. They even know it's foolishness, but they don't know no better. So I'll just leave it there. You know, Baba Ochi, in the energy of brother our brother Ted, yeah, he said something last week, and it's something I say on these radio stations on this side of the pond, and I'm sure they get sick of me for saying it, but I'm going to keep saying it, you know, because I feel that, you know, the way we talk about white people and the way every conversation's about white people, you know, there's a saying, what you pay attention to becomes your reality, you understand? And that is a rhetorical saying, but the reality of that saying, the truth of that saying is the way the brain is wired, this is the science behind it. I heard Brother Herbs talk about something about repeating a repetitiveness.
Right.
Well, the reality of it is your brain is made up of a nerve network. And the more you repeat something, it forms nerves. That's why they continually, when you're a soldier, they continually put you through the certain drills because they're trying to make you into a psychopath because normal people don't kill. Normal people don't kill, so they have to teach you how to kill. So they keep repeating certain events, so it wires certain things in your brain. That's reality. I've seen how they did it. The First and Second World War, apparently, I watched this. They said that when the men were in the trenches in what they called the worldwide war, that when they came out the trenches to fight, when they had the bayonets, they start stuttering. It's like they must have come to the realization, why am I going to kill this person? When it came down to killing him, they thought, well, what has he done to me? Who is this person? And then often they'll drop the bayonet and start fighting, fisticuffs, until the psychopath came and put a bullet through the next one's head. So they realized in order to build proper soldiers, they had to turn them into psychopaths. I watched this, and it's true. So the bottom line is, you know, we're all on a journey of learning. All of us are on a journey, and you know what you provide is that we learn from each other. I don't need to call you any names. I don't need to call anybody any names. I don't really have hate for anybody, right? Because the reality of it is, Baba Ochi, we don't hate. I don't think personally, hate ain't gonna get us. I call the white man cracker. I call the white man a honky. I call it. How far have we got?
Boy, I ain't heard Brother Paul, I ain't heard that one in a while, man. Honky.
Honky.
Yeah.
I mean, honky. Exactly. Look, Baba Ochi, I ain't going to try and play a Mr. Know-It-All or give anyone a lecture, right? But I tell you what, I do think about things. I don't just blat my mouth off and call people names and all kind of stupidness.
That's obvious.
I think about things.
And that's evident, Paul, and I appreciate
things,
it. Yeah.
And what I'm saying to you, Baba Ochi, is this, yeah? I've been on this journey. I sacrificed a lot to go on this journey. And another thing I want to say to you, Baba Ochi, I want to ask you this. Do you think we choose this route of liberation, or does it choose us? Which one do you think happens?
I think it chooses us.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm glad. You know. See, I know you're the truth, right? And that's why you were the captain, Baba Ochi. That's why you had to be the captain. No, I'm telling you. because you feel like a captain to me. I swear, even before you said that. And I tell you why I feel you feel like a captain. America is a very gun-ho place. That's how it gained America. It wouldn't have gained America if it didn't have guns. It's just a gun-ho place that likes to kill people all the while. So that's why our brother's always talking about killing, because as much as he talks, he's an African, he's really just an American. He likes to kill everybody. Mm-hmm. So the reality of it is right, and I'm not trying to offend anybody. You came on here and you were different. You said, I heard you say it. You said, listen, I'm not really into the gun business. And I thought, hey, he ain't been brainwashed into that nonsense. Yeah? That's what I thought in my brain. Because they try and brainwash into this madness. They try and make us think that just having a big gun, because you got a gun. Look, you got a gun, you're going to defend yourself. If a man is determined to kill you and he's got a gun, you ain't going to kick. You might be able to shot. But if he's determined to kill you, he's going to kill you.
He's going to kill you.
That's the reality.
Exactly.
No one ain't better than no one. Mm-mm. So that brainwashing madness, only some of us get fooled by that. And the ones who get fooled by that, they're not real soldiers, Baba Ochi. Mm-hmm. I think you're a real soldier. You show humility. You show intelligence. When you talk about what you've done, you said that when you were a fireman, in your spare time, this is what you said, and I know it's true. You said you would go into schools. That touched my heart. Because it's something what I done. And I tried to encourage others to do it. I'm telling you, other black men to do it. And brother, I just have to tell you the truth. The amount of bullcrap and excuses you get, I just look at them and laugh. Because they haven't got it. They don't have the same empathy you have. And that's why I know you're the captain. Because you have that empathy. That's why during this month, I want to listen to Brother Ted. He said, I don't want to speak about white people at all. I just want to speak about us. Us! Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
And what I see and hear. And you know what? I feel privileged to speak to someone like you. And I'm proud of what you do. I'm proud of what you do. Doesn't mean I'm not proud of others.
I thank you, brother.
I'm going to tell you the truth. I am proud because you opened the door for us to be who we need to be. And if some people want to act the fool, let them act the fool. Yeah, let them act the fool because everybody knows. But the reality of it is, Baba, I will continue to say this. Without you, I don't think I'd be phoning here because I've phoned many. Listen, I don't talk, but I've phoned many of people. I've even heard their name called on this station. I've spoke to them and I realized they have the same xenophobia. They have the same prejudices. They can't get over it. And I don't blame them for it because that's the way they've been programmed by Uncle Sam. Yes. They've been programmed.
Right.
And they can't get out of that. So I just leave it. And because I'm talking, I don't want people to get upset and say, who's he? And then start telling me about England. Because I know how England stay, brother. I know how it stay. It's no different. England, by the way, is the master. Don't fool me. I know England's the master. That's why you're speaking English.
That's right.
Everything. That's even right. Your schools. Some of them don't know this, brother. Oh, they don't even know this. The programs for your schools come from here.
That's why they make
English mandatory.
Yeah, exactly.
So when fools tell me about, he's going to come up and give us lecture. Yeah, I'm going to give you a lecture because you're still speaking English, you damn idiot. That's the truth. Right? So what I'm saying is, the point I'm trying to make is not to put anybody down. I'm just saying what I see and I observe. Right. And why I say that is because we have to start not just dressing up as Africans, not just going to Africa on a holiday. We have to embrace it in our hearts, meaning we got to try and speak the language.
It's 1 o'clock, Paul.
Right. 1 o'clock.
That's all good. All right. Let me leave it at this. We got to seek it in our hearts, meaning that we why don't we have African brothers on this station? Why? From African continent. Why? You understand? This is all I'm saying.
Yeah.
We got to be real Africans and reach out. We got to be the ones to reach out to them.
Yeah.
Not wait for them to reach out to us. That's all I'm saying, Baba.
All right. I appreciate you, Paul.
All right.
Appreciate you, Irv. All of y'all, we end this program. Well, let me say this. You know, because me going to Vegas tomorrow, I'm not a gambler anyway, but to truly pay homage to a dear, good man, a good friend who I work with for over 10 years in the Milwaukee Fire Department. It was a pleasure to go to work and to serve the community, to do it all that we could to help people. And that's what we did. We both had the same mentality that we were going to give the people of Milwaukee a serious level of service, a dedicated professional level of service at 3 p.m. and the same at 3 a.m. We weren't going to have no attitude. We weren't going to let the guys that were in our care say something, do something out of pocket. Wasn't happening. And so whatever the scene was, we did it professionally, and I really appreciate that, brother. And I can't wait to say some kind words and good words about it. So appreciate y'all, and brother Irv will be on this Friday, and I'll be listening. So we end this program, like we end all of our programs, with the words of Stephen Biko: the most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do it out, and they sure as hell don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Shemhotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Bibi Fahodie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. You have a blessed and wonderful day, family. Appreciate y'all. Peace.